Welcome to the Concierge CPA. I'm Jackie Meyer, founder of the Concierge Accountant Program and TaxPlan IQ software. This is a podcast for accounting firm owners and influencers who are pursuing world-class service. We discuss their path to excellence, their daily habits, and what influences them and their work. We believe that every person has a unique message that can positively impact the world. Stick around till the end of the show. We'll reveal how you can be our next guest. Let's go, y'all.
Welcome to the Concierge CPA Podcast. I have my new BFF, Julie Smith, on today. It's weird how you randomly meet someone or get an introduction to somebody and you just hit it off like you are identical twins. We are noticing a few differences. Like, she was a big sports girl growing up and I was more into dance. But other than that, I mean, we have very similar personalities. And so we've really hit it off. And she has her own coaching consulting program for accountants. She's been essentially like the operations officer for a CPA firm that's grown tremendously, which I'd love to hear more about that. And she's a serial entrepreneur as well. So, Julie, welcome. So happy to have you. I would love for you to kind of fill in more of the blanks of that random thing that I just, you know, spewed of your life. So tell us more.
Yeah, thank you, Jackie. No, I think I got off the phone with you the very first time and I was like, I think we were meant to be together. Like, it was like this instant connection, right?
Yeah.
So I started my career out in corporate America and, you know, climbed the ladder and then decided after I had my first child that I needed to take a step back, right? That seemed like the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And someone had introduced me to Glenn and, you know, of course, he didn't even ask for my resume. We had, you know, a phone chat and I named all these things, demands, right? I want to work 4 days a week. I want unlimited vacation. He's like, sure, when can you start? And I'm like, oh gosh, this is going way too well.
So you were demanding just like me back in the day. Okay. Like go in like you're going to roll over everybody and it's crazy. So yeah, Glenn, how big was his CPA firm at that time?
So I think there was 8 of them at the time and okay. He had a partner at the time as well. So, you know, a funny story that I don't know should be public, but here we are. After the second day in office, I walked in Glenn's office and I shut the door and I was like, what is going on here? And he, you know, in corporate America, me is like, there's no processes, there's no systems, nothing's in place. No one knows what's doing who. Everyone's just doing their own thing. Like, what's going on here? Uh-huh. We're working through it, Julie. And I'm like, okay, well, we've got to fire everybody and start over.
Is that what you did?
Oh, well, I mean, kind of. So he went through a partner split and, you know, essentially Harper & Company was born from that. And we just decided together we wanted to run a firm so different than the firm that was. We wanted to be a firm of the future. And so we immediately started doing, you know, the advisory work and doing just different ways of running a firm. And, you know, natural attrition says that some people just don't want to do new things or change. And so we've pretty much gone through, you know, we've started a whole new firm with a whole new team, essentially. And it's been so fun, though. And, you know, you go through those highs and those lows as, you know, running a business and building something. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, that's where a passion came of starting Empower CPA is I love to watch everybody else succeed around me, right? How do we give the shortcut to this? There's enough room at a round table for everyone to come have it. And so that's really Amen. How Empower CPA was formed. And then in COVID, you know, I had this idea, and Glenn laughs all the time because I'm always like, I have an idea. And he's always like, oh no, what now? Or what do I have to do?
I can identify with that as well. I've had about 4 this week.
Yeah, right. And yeah. So I said, I really want to start a podcast. I really want it to be a community for entrepreneurs. It was right during COVID. And, you know, when you own a business, you just feel so alone. And that time, for whatever reason, just really revealed that to me. And I wanted to create a community. And it started out as a community for, you know, our clients and what that was. And I think after episode 2, we were having people email in from all over wanting to be on it. And awesome. Glenn and I were like, okay, well, this is something different than we had thought. And so we've been able just to create a ton of relationships, you know, through that and talking to all the serial entrepreneurs who are like-minded, like yourself, has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank that you. Was a really fun interview. I got, you know, the older I get, since I just turned 40, I'm sure people listening are tired of me mentioning that, but it's a new difficult phase of life. But yeah, I mean, the older you get, the more like, what's the word? Sentimental. And the more you think about mental health and, you know, more deeper things about your life and whatnot. And I feel like we talked a lot about that in the interview on your podcast that I hadn't really gotten into with others. So I appreciated that outlet.
Yeah, no, and it's fun to watch people reflect and watch their wheels start turning as you ask certain questions. And again, it's that self-reflection that we don't ever take the time sometimes to be able to do of where we were and where we're going and how did we get to where we are today.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. So the podcast, how many episodes are you in and what's the title if people want to look it up?
So it's Empowering Entrepreneurs. And I got my guy looking real fast how many episodes we're in. We're at 58.
Oh, so cool. Okay. Very nice.
Doing good.
Yeah. So that's been fun. Okay. So that was your COVID project. My COVID project was TaxPlan IQ. So yeah, we've got that similarity. Tell us more about Empower and how did this come about? How did this program come about? Tell us about, oh my gosh, we have to talk about the results that you've been getting. I don't know how detailed you can get or if we use an anonymous firm or something, but you've seen some tremendous results, right?
Yeah. And like I said, this all just started with, you know, Harper and Company. And it was like, how do you go take small to mid-sized CPA firms and run them operationally like a business, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know how many of you guys deal with CPAs on a daily basis, but they give amazing advice. They just forget to take it for themselves and implement it into their own systems and processes. And so when we built Harper and Company, you know, we were having all of this success and people were like, well, how do we find the Julie? Well, how do I get a Julie to come in and run my firm, you know?
Yeah.
And it's funny how many, you know, CPA firm owners just don't think about having that operations person. They see themselves as doing all of that. And so that's really been kind of the secret sauce is how do you go find someone who can kind of bridge the gap between ownership and your team? Mm-hmm. And it's like interpreting, you know, different ways to be able to motivate everybody and get what you need out of them. And so we were able to do that successfully at Harper & Company and people started reaching out and, I told Glenn, I was like, you're going to have some competition here, right? And so out of that came, how do we go and make something where we're able to kind of reach many CPA firms and be, you know, help them succeed in whatever capacity that is. Mm-hmm. And normally we leave a CPA firm and they have a Julie and they kind of have transformed into an advisory firm. And they've really been able to do things. And really the goal is, how do you get that owner to kind of be an owner, the business owner, not really in the business, right?
Yeah.
So that they can do what they're really good at and figure out their strengths, which is not everything, ironically, even though that's what they'll tell you when you first walk in. But the goal is to double revenue in, you know, 12 to 18 months. And,
well,
you know, how
cool.
We do that. Yeah. It's just through efficiency. And it's how do you find everybody's strengths and how do you capitalize on that? How do you use technology to do things that should not manually be done?
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about like net income, bottom line? So you're looking at the expense side of things, but also revenue, or is it more on just moving?
I'm looking at
advisory,
doubling,
getting that revenue up.
Yeah, doubling revenue.
Awesome. So okay.
You had a million. I want to get you to two as quickly as possible. And again, that's something Harper and Company was able to kind of do is we were able to double and not add any more employees.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So it's just how do you go in and kind of audit what someone's doing and operationally make it so it's almost perfect.
Mm-hmm. What's interesting is that your model is a lot like EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System, but you didn't even know about that. And the concept is you are essentially the integrator and Glenn's like the visionary. And so y'all just organically kind of went towards that structure that has become so wildly successful. We use EOS in our companies, but you've customized it for accountants. And that's what we really need. We need like straight to the point, like here's how you do it for our profession, our industry. We don't need all this nonsense about how everybody else is doing it kind of thing.
Well, and I think it's those shortcuts. So like, as you know, I fell on my face many times before we came up with, you know, kind of this system and we're ever evolving, right? So what new technologies coming out, new things are coming out. How do we, you know, input that into that? So what I did is, you know, like, don't do this, but do this. Here's the shortcut. Here's the how-to. Here's how to implement this as quickly as possible. Something that maybe took us 3 months, you know, you could do in 2 weeks because here's the shortcut. Here are the steps. As long as you can get everybody on board and bought into it, there's no reason to take that time, right? Time's money. So I think that was really the big aha moment to me too, is I remember asking Glenn, so are there any lunch and learns for people like me? And he looks at me and he goes, I have no idea what you talk about, but we don't talk to other accounting firms or other CPA firms, you know? And I was like, oh, really? Okay. So there's nothing out there, you know? And I started researching and trying to find something, and we actually were able to create Thomson Reuters' first peer group.
Oh, that's cool.
Some like-minded people. And I was the only type in there, right? Everybody was kind of like the owner CPA. But just to get like-minded people in there and to figure out what are other people doing that is working for them and how can we implement that into our firm. And that was one thing that, you know, I loved. Obviously, you always outgrow a peer group after a period of time. But those people, I know I could call any of them and they would do anything for me. And I think it's awesome. Those relationships that keep driving you to keep doing more and better. And so I think that also stemmed from creating Empower CPA, is there wasn't a group for me to go vent to or go get ideas from, right? And how did I, you know, how could I get like-minded people together to be able to share those so that we were all doing better in the industry?
That's awesome. Yeah. And so you're essentially helping people work themselves out of a job, which is so difficult for accounts to see or think that's even possible, especially with the staffing shortages we're having. What are you seeing in that area, and how the heck are you doing this when, like, everyone says, I can't find anybody, I can't find mid-level people, everyone's too expensive? And so let's talk about that, and then I want to kind of get into how Harper & Co. is changing, and you and Glenn are replacing yourselves as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think an exercise that I always make people go through when they say, like, oh, we can't find anybody, or what are you really looking for? And what are the tangible and intangible things, right? What can you teach and what can you not teach?
Are you saying they might have unrealistic expectations?
Maybe.
Okay.
But I think when they go through this exercise, you know, if you were to go in and walk into a CPA firm and you're like, who is your ideal employee? They'd be like, a CPA with 7 to 10 years experience. Like, I don't know how many times I've heard that, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, could you teach a CPA everything that you know? But it's really hard to teach someone, like, teamwork and how to work as a team. So it's like, if you can look at what are those tangible and intangible things that really drive your culture internally, those are the things you want to protect first and foremost, right? And so for me, it's number one's a team player inside of our culture. So if you're not going to be a great team player and you're not going to fit into that, I don't care how many years experience you have and how many returns you can do in 1 hour.
For sure.
That doesn't matter to me, because our culture is really, really important. And so I think once they're able to kind of dive and make those two lists, they quickly realize, like, okay, I could invest back into my firm and I could maybe teach this person who only has 3 to 5 years experience, hasn't obtained their CPA. I could make them into my unicorn that I'm looking for, right?
Yeah.
They possess, you know, whatever intangible things that you find that you need inside your firm. And once you start doing that, the door is open, right? So not only maybe you want an effective communicator, maybe you go a different route. Like, I've seen so many firms go hire teachers who have just been rock star employees for them, right?
Wow.
Because they can communicate, they know how to manage their time, they're very like detail oriented, and they work in a very specific task oriented way. And for whatever reason, those people seem to be successful inside CPA firms. And so I think once you kind of have that realization that, how can you make it work without the unicorn? How do you create your own unicorns?
Yeah.
I think that changes their perspective on who they hire and how they hire.
That's really cool. I love that. Okay. And so you're seeing there's plenty of people that still really want to work, and they have the passion and drive, and they want to maybe become the next partner or whatnot, because people are saying that doesn't exist anymore for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's all about I mean, I think it's really hard these days if you geographically want a certain location and you want everybody in office, right? At Harper & Company, we've had to go to some hybrid version of that as we've grown, right? And just realizing that what we're looking for doesn't necessarily have to reside here. It could reside outside of here. We have a couple employees in Texas, ironically. But it's, you have to have those systems and processes in place first before you can do that, right? Or it's the wild, wild west and no one has any idea what's going on. And so the first part of that, you know, to be able to go do that is to create those systems and processes internally. So then you can turn kind of externally out to bring everybody together. Mm-hmm. And then having some sort of cadence in regards to how do you get those people involved on your team to make sure, one, they're held accountable, but two, they feel a part of the team. And I think that's been something that, for whatever reason, we've been really good at. So everybody comes on site quarterly. We have some sort of, whether it's, you know, a learning or it's fun, you know, we try to combine both of them, but everybody gets to know everybody a little bit better and have those kind of conversations that maybe don't happen on a day-to-day basis. Nice. So we have a big cohesive group. And I think as I've, you know, been into certain CPA firms and the ones that have been adamant about not hiring, you know, remote employees, and I can understand, you know, the concern, but I think once you're able to kind of build a foundation inside a firm, a business, it really applies to anything, going outside is much easier, right? And so I think once you're able to do that, and again, it's those tangible versus intangible things that you're hiring for, it kind of opens your eyes to, you're not just hiring those, you know, 10-year senior CPAs. Maybe you're hiring, you know, I have a great success story for you. So in 8 years ago, I hired an assistant. He worked at Valvoline Oil, but had a really good personality, right? Mm-hmm. And he was in college, and he came to be my assistant part-time in tax season, and he was great. He did everything I asked. He didn't really complain, right? Learned really quickly, and after tax season, I said, hey, do you want to come on to the admin team full-time? We'd love to have you. Here's what it looks like. And then he was like, I'm in school, so we made that flexible schedule work. And as he got closer and closer to graduation, you know, I said, hey, we really need to have a conversation. What are your goals here? What do you want to do with your life? Mm-hmm. And he was, you know, at a crossroads where he really didn't know. He was going to college to get a degree. But other than that, he didn't really have a path. And I said, hey, listen, Harper & Company will pick up the tab. Go get your extra hours for accounting that you need to sit for the CPA exam. And then sit for the CPA exam. Let's start transitioning you, you know, to an accountant. And then eventually you'll be a CPA here. You'll be an accountant in charge for us. And he just passed his last part of his CPA exam. Nice. And he manages, you know, about 40 client relationships for us. He's an amazing communicator. And so to that point, your talent may not be where you think you're looking. Your talent may be in a different area. It's just you have to have a little bit bigger perspective.
Yeah. Wow. That's really cool. I love that example. Okay, what is something that you're just like, out of this whole conversion to advisory, first of all, what's your elevator pitch around why people should do it? And then, well, let's start there. And then we'll get into kind of some tips and tricks around things that people like, you have to be doing this if you want to move towards advisory.
Yeah, my whole elevator pitch is for advisory to CPA firms is, you're already doing it. Why not get paid to do it?
Hell yeah. I love that. Okay. You're right. Exactly. You're right.
Well, and I laugh because I was in a CPA firm in December and, you know, knew nothing about them, walked in kind of cold turkey and just started listening to the things that were happening, right? Around me, and these admins were answering the phone and answering these people questions immediately.
Oh, wow.
Immediately they were providing the solutions.
Yeah.
The people weren't even having to get back, you know, back past the admin area to get those answers. And I literally looked at them and I was like, are you tracking your time? How are you guys doing this? You know, they had been around for 10 plus years in the firm, so they had learned so many things. And they were providing so much value.
Yeah.
So we started going through and evaluating those relationships and instantly realized that they were underbilling about $500,000. And the first 4 hours I was there, they were able to come up with that and kind of come up with a plan on how to build their clients. for the value that they were already providing to them. And so,
okay, hold up. We got to dive into that more. So you're 4 hours into this firm and they somehow identify $500,000 more revenue. Tell us, give us a little bit, like connect the dots for us here. How does that happen?
Yeah. So I pulled a Jackie and was like, hey, can I sit down at your desk and can you log me in as you? And I need to see some things. And just really was able to, and I then tasked an admin. I said, hey, listen, I think we're off by quite a lot here. So they were doing their billing in Excel. And God love them. There's a ton of people still out there doing that.
Oh, yeah. I remember we still tracked over under budget in Excel compared to QuickBooks and MinuteDoc and all the things because, you know, no app is perfect out there, right?
But no one was like putting the dots together. I said, okay, then can you run they kept their time in practice, but build out of Excel. I said, can you go ahead and run me how many hours per year this client, you know, has in there? And then let's just take $150, you know, per hour and then hit that in the next one. And then I said, give me the delta in the next one. And
wow.
I don't remember the exact number, but if I rounded, which is what I would do because I'm not an accountant, it was right around the $500,000 mark. And they immediately were like, we can't believe this. This can't be true, you know? And it goes back to accountants, CPA firms. They give this advice. They do this for all their clients. They just don't do it for themselves for whatever that reason is. And it's, you know, it's time. It's whatever, you know, on that day-to-day basis is. They don't make themselves a priority to run their business. So it's how can we go in and make sure that they're able to do that moving forward?
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah, I think it kind of reminds me of when I'm looking at a tax advisory engagement or helping someone come up with a tax plan. And without strategic advice or guidance, they're going to charge 5 to 10 times less than what they should be because they don't know any better. Right.
Well, you know what I love is you don't get to go to your lawyer and negotiate your bill ever. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you owned a CPA firm. How many times did you get clients that were like, this is just too much. You just charged me way too much this year.
Yeah.
I'm only willing to pay X.
Right.
that, you know, and it's funny because then CPAs or, you know, accounting firms are immediately like, oh, okay, because they don't want to have that conversation. The fee conversation is tough for whatever reason that is. And they quickly just devalue whatever they did. Like, okay, well, this person only sees it as 500. It just must be 500. Mm-hmm. And so how do you change that mindset shift inside a firm to say, you know what? No, I'm worth 1,000. I told you that up front. That's what your invoice is. You're more than happy to go any place else. You know, I just talked to someone who works at H&R Block. This was probably 6 weeks ago because also, Jackie, we forgot to talk about, I started a pure tax firm, so just a 1040 yes. individual tax firm. And so I was just doing some research and I was talking to this guy at H&R Block and he said, you know, their things say like start at $35 or, you know, whatever their gimmick is. And he said, we don't like to let anyone leave here for anything less than 900. And I just literally stopped and was like, wow.
So you're saying H&R Block doesn't charge less than like 900 per client.
I mean, that's what this, and again, I'm not throwing anyone under the bus, but that was the conversation I had. He said, you know, that's the goal.
Yet we still have firms that are charging $400, $500 for a 1040, right?
Or 200 and 200.
Or 200, yeah. When I first started in 2010, it was like 150 for a 1040. And it's pretty cool. It went from like 150 and then 12 years later, it was like no less than $15,000 nice. For a client, right? But yeah, you gotta keep moving up.
I think if you, it's a tough exercise to do, and you know, I do this with some firms, but no one understands the cost to do a tax return, right? So it's the CPA who's like, well, I only have 2 hours into that, or you know, that only took me 4 hours. Well, they had to upload the stuff to the portal. Your portal costs money. Then someone had to take the stuff and give it to you right out of the portal or however that works, you know, whatever that workflow is. You then had to turn on some tax software, which we all know isn't cheap, to input that tax information into to get the output. Then someone had to go and review that return, which as we know, there's a staffing shortage. And then you had to have someone process the return. There's usually an e-signature these days, and it goes back into a portal. And then someone's calling that person to let them know about their return being done. And then, you know, heaven forbid, someone has to come in the office and get a paper copy, right?
Right.
And I think if you just think about how much everything costs,
yeah,
do a return for $200 is, it, no one's making money. You know, like,
no,
it's not
that's a
business.
A great way to look at it. I mean, you could really easily do that with a solopreneur. They probably are the quickest to discount their own work. But if you really look, just look at the expenses on the P&L and allocate it over, let's say you have 100 clients, divide it by 100, and that's your kind of like average cost per client that you need to add in that bill, right?
When I didn't even talk about overhead, right?
Yeah.
So there's just, it's incredible the cost of a return, but how quickly, you know, this industry devalues the work that they do. And just because you have 25 years of knowledge and you can answer a question in 5 seconds,
that doesn't make it less valuable. Right?
No, not at all. Yeah. It actually makes it more valuable because of your level of expertise and knowledge. So don't discount that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great advice. Okay. So we talked through, okay, I need to know what's like one kind of quick tip or trick, although we already kind of threw out a couple things, but what's one thing that people have to make sure that they're doing, whether it's a certain tool they're using or workflow process or the way that they staff? I don't know, but there's got to be something you've identified as like, wow, I can't believe the majority of accountants aren't doing this. And it has such a major impact on them if they did.
I'm going to say something and everybody in the industry is going to laugh. But just because you did it that way last year doesn't mean that's the way you should do it this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, oftentimes it's just the industry thing is whatever we did last year, always be evaluating, always be trying to make it better. Your employees, your team, they usually have a lot of those solutions. Mm-hmm. It's just how do you talk to them, listen to them, communicate with them. What are their pain points? What can you easily eliminate for them that just drives them nuts? And I think if you do that, the writing, it's right there. Now you just have to implement and execute. And I think execution's a big one. People talk, they listen, they have these ideas. Execute them, see them through, hold yourself accountable, especially if you're a firm owner. People want to see that progress. And that's how you're going to be able to recruit, right? You're changing. You're seeing the way the industry is going. You're seeing the way the world is going, and you're moving with it. You're not staying still. So I would just encourage you just to lean into the change, and I think you'll see amazing results.
Yeah. It reminds me of kind of my favorite quote that's been running through my head lately. Robert Kiyosaki says, failures fail. I'm going to butcher it because, you know, I have two kids and my mind is blown, but failures fail and winners fail until they succeed. So it's all about just doing it. And that was a huge mindset shift for myself. And I can see a complete transformation in how much better I became in my own firm or how much better I became in the new companies I created when I just was like, I'm going to just do this. I have to try it. I can't overthink it to the death of me, right? Because then nothing will happen. You're in like analysis paralysis. So you have to move forward.
Well, and I think that's so true. And I think people talk themselves out of executing because of all the cons, right? But there's also so many pros. Like, what if it did work? Mm-hmm. What would that do for you? What would that do for your firm? And I think going with that positive mindset, it's life-changing, like you said. And just to believe that will work. I don't believe in failure. I think entrepreneurs, I think all of us, we just pivot. So that didn't work. Well, we're just going to try this. We're going to figure it out till we make it work, right? Till we figure out how it works. And I think having that mindset, just that positive mindset and gratitude mindset changes your day to day.
For sure. That's awesome. Is there a particular way that you keep that gratitude mindset? Everyone kind of has their favorite apps or whatever.
You know, I don't know. I've never been asked that question. That's a great question.
I'm just naturally amazing.
Give it to you. You know, I think I always start out my mornings with the hardest thing I'm going to do, which is a workout. And okay. I know that sounds so crazy, But that's my mental time. That's my time where, like, I have what's in front of me, and that's what I have to achieve. But it's also allowing me to get into that mindset of, like, I'm so grateful for today. I cannot wait for what today, you know, what today brings, mm-hmm. type of mindset. And starting it off that way always seems way better. If I miss the workout for whatever reason, my day never goes well. And I don't know if, again, it goes back. I've never answered this question, but it's just that mental component of, I can do hard things. Mm-hmm. Nothing that's going to come at me today is going to be any harder than what I'm doing right now. And it seems to get me through those days.
I love that. And I can completely identify with it because working out is one of my least favorite things to do. And so if you are trying to kind of get in the micro of your day to day, yeah, if I can get that done and at least try, right, first thing, then I can do anything. I try to think of life in general kind of more around that, you know, in my personal life and my family, we have a lot of mental illness and a lot of challenges there. And so once some of these major events happen to your family health-wise, it really starts to diminish how important getting that one tax return done by tomorrow is, right? And so you are managing the expectations of life because in the grand scheme of things, like, they're going to be okay if I'm one day late with that return or if I have to extend that return. But, like, I either have or don't have my family member anymore, right? If, like, something major happened. And so that's kind of what's made me refocus in life is through, like, health challenges, my family, and realizing, like, I can't be a workaholic anymore. I need to make sure that, like, health and balance and gratitude and those things are to come to the forefront. But you put it in a good, like, micro daily way.
Have you ever read The Energy Bus? I'm sure you have.
No, I haven't.
Okay, so there's this book called The Energy Bus. It's by John Gordon. He writes amazing, easy to read books, but with good, you know, lessons. Okay. And I realized that I burned through them. Like, I literally can read them. And then I go back to them, you know, as something's happening in life.
Yeah.
And I realized he wrote them for children. And I have two daughters who, you know, I think the change that I've seen in myself is I want to be there for them. I want to help change. You know, I had a great childhood, but how do I help change and make them good humans in this world? And I think that's really been a driving force behind me. But The Energy Bus is all about whatever you put out there is what you get back. Mm. And my youngest, who's 7, she just took it to read to her class this week. And we read it all the time. Like, when we're going through hard times, it's like, well, how do we get through this? Well, we have to find the positive part of that. And so really trying to run a household even from that mindset. And it's hard, right? Because girls are hard, one. School is hard. Life is hard, right? Mm-hmm. But really trying to have them come out with that mindset too, right? And so I don't know that I learned that until later on in life. And so that's also, like, that's a big life lesson for me too.
For sure. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, let's talk a little bit about how I teased that you and Glenn are kind of replacing yourselves. So not only are you telling other people to do this, but you're actually going through it yourself right now. What was the reasoning behind it? And how the heck are you doing this? Because it's so hard for firm owners and managers to do that.
Yeah. And I'm going to admit I'm a type A control person. So it's
no, not you.
And Glenn's the same way. And I think we've just realized that, hey, we've built this thing and it's really, really good. But what are our strengths? What, you know, what are our passions? What drives us every day? And I think, you know, I was talking to Jackie before we started recording, and Glenn's strengths really are sales and relationships. Mm-hmm. His strength is not managing people. And, you know, my strength may be managing people, but inside of an accounting firm, I need someone who can complement what I can do, right? Mm-hmm. And so we hired this person in December, and I call it Glenn's replacement, but it's really just someone to augment Glenn's weaknesses, essentially, and make them opportunities for the firm.
Yeah. Focus on your strengths, like Strengths Finder, one of the best books ever.
And so we've really been able to do that. And I'm doing that for myself, you know, as Jackie and I have talked at great length. My passion is watching everybody succeed around me. And how do I bring everybody with? Like, I've never been that person where I'm like, well, it's just me, or, well, I did that and I want to keep it for myself. Mm-hmm. And so really trying to, you know, grow and scale Empower CPA, and being able to do that means that I might not necessarily be able to be in the day-to-day at Harper & Company, right? I think Glenn and I will always, that's always going to be a part of us, but how do we do it so that we can do what we want to do, right? And really focus in on that. And we want Harper & Company to be great. And that's something we've built and we think it's fabulous, but how do we spread that to everybody else and allow those strengths to really shine through?
Yeah. And how quickly were you able to find these, you know, augmented helpers, whatever we're calling them?
I think that was a challenge. I think Glenn's was a bigger challenge because he didn't see the value in that right off the bat.
Okay.
So, you know, there was always an issue or something and he wasn't really quite bought into it. So I may have started that process a little too early, but I really think it led us to the perfect person. And so I think having the buy-in and understanding that person's role and understanding what they're going to do day to day and what you want to kind of keep and augment is really, really important. And I think we've been able to really define that with Glenn and Gentry, and they work really well together, right? And I'm all about personality and personality tests and how do you communicate and all that. And
which personality tests do you like the best?
You know, I like DISC is okay. I'm really a big Enneagram fan.
Oh, I love the Enneagram. Yeah. DISC and Enneagram are kind of the two that I go to. Are you an eight?
I'm definitely an eight.
I'm an eight too. Shocker. Okay.
Glenn's a one, so he always wants to be fair, where I'm over there bulldozing over anything that's in my way to get to where we need to be. So it's an interesting dynamic with us. But
right. Okay, so when you say it took longer than expected, was this a year process? What should people expect, like, if they want to really give it the time that it needs?
You know, I think Glenn and I started talking about this 18 months ago.
Okay.
And it was really just a conversation of where are we going and what are we doing? And, you know, are we really bringing the best value by doing X, Y, Z to the firm?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, then that probably took 6 months for us to define for it to come to fruition. And then the next 12 months, it was like we were looking, but we weren't looking really, really hard, right? We, I had this, you're going to laugh at this. I had this server in Hilton Head. I was with my family in Hilton Head, and she was phenomenal. And I literally texted Glenn and said, I'm going to try to hire her and relocate her. I think she'd be great. And of course, he's like, okay, is she being serious or not being serious? Like, never knows what I'm doing. Obviously, she declined. But I think you just have to always be out there looking and always kind of have that awareness of what and who you're looking for. You know, I brought with me, I said I worked in corporate America and I had worked with this person since 2007. We worked at an offsite. We ultimately came downtown together to be in the office. And when I left, I said, you're coming with me. It may not be today, but you're coming with me. And I think she's been working with me, you know, for 5 years at Harper & Company. And I just respect her. We obviously get each other. And so, you know, she's my replacement.
Awesome. That's amazing.
We've replaced her too. So it's just the downward trickle thing of how that happens. But I think it's understanding what you want and setting the other person up for success. And I think oftentimes the mindset is, no one can do it as good as I can. No one's going to do it as good as I can. And I admit that, right? But they're going to do it their way. And as long as we get to the same end goal, I don't have anything to complain about. I think the same can be said, you know, with Glenn. And I think he, you know, had that realization of like, he's not the best at managing people, right? Like that's not his strength. His strength is definitely doing something else inside the firm. And that makes the firm stronger. And I think having that mindset and wanting everyone to come with has really helped us move down the path of where we want to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so with Glenn's replacement, was there a particular job site that you used, or was it through referrals, or like, you know, where did you find this perfect person for him?
So I think I went everywhere, including I had known some people at certain places here locally, and I cold called them. Like,
wow, look at you. Just like, you know, talking up the server and, you know, cold calling local businesses. Very nice.
It didn't work. We ended up getting this person work. And I'm clearly it's not a strength. We've hired three people from Accounting Fly, and I don't know if you've heard of them, but
Yeah. Is that Jeff that runs Accounting Fly? I spoke to him several years ago. I need to reconnect with him if that's a good spot.
Yeah, you will love Liz Branch and Beth. They're great people. And we had Liz actually on our podcast a while ago. But I just was really, really, you know, for the first round was like, listen, resumes are great. Their background is great. But these are the three things that I'm looking for. I need a really good communicator. I need someone who really can do relationships and someone who's a team player.
Nice.
And I think they thought I was like crazy when I said that. Like, of course, I'd love a CPA, but here's what I'm looking for.
Oh, because it's so like opposite of what people are normally looking for.
Yeah. So like she said, everybody says, and like I said this, you know, we need a 7 to 10 year experience CPA. Maybe we could have someone who was going to go for partner, but didn't, you know what I mean? Like all these, like, it's really hard to find those people. I hate to break it to everybody.
Right.
But somehow we did. So we found someone out of Georgia who has 20 years of experience, and you know his story. He's been great. He's a great leader. He's a great communicator. He's really great at relationships, and he's really great at coaching, you know, the accountants in regards to getting what we need out of them. And so he's been a great bridge to that gap, but. Again, I think it's just looking outside of what you're normally looking for and really being able to define that. Like, I know that's where Glenn kind of, you know, sometimes doesn't do the best when in regards to the employees. So how mm-hmm. do we bridge that gap and bring someone on? I never want to be the smartest person in my firm.
Yeah. Ever.
I want everybody to be smarter and to kind of come with and teach me. And I think that's what makes great leaders.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about Dave. So my last podcast interview, which I don't think has been released yet, was Dave Lucas. He is now the CEO of my baby, Tax Plan IQ. And this came about through Julie Smith. So isn't that a crazy small world? And I told everybody what I had told you when you first recommended him, like, I don't need 8 coaches. I don't need another one of those. And how, you know, actually it wasn't DISC or Enneagram though. It was one of those newer tests that I did with him, Working Genius, that I do really like as well. That was like, you know what, if he fits into the one category out of all of these that no one else does at my company, I shouldn't say firm, we're not a firm anymore. Then I'll hire him. And we did, and the rest is history. And 6 months later, here we are. So thank you for that introduction. Thank you for encouraging me to pursue that.
Yeah, that might be one of my top phone calls ever. Because I was like, man, she is just not into this. But I could see it, and I knew it was going to be good. It was just convincing you. And I remember getting off the phone and being like, man, I really don't know what's going to happen. You know, like... but no, you took the leap of faith, and I think it's been great. You know, I think I described Dave as making me stay in my lane.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's really, really good at that. And holding you accountable. I don't know how many times I have phone calls with him and I'm like, well, I have another idea. And he's like, no, Julie, focus on the idea that the meeting is about. Right.
Yeah.
And I think we all need that in our life, especially as entrepreneurs. Like, how do we stay focused to get the next thing done, to then lean into whatever might be next. And, you know, whatever those opportunities are across the board, they're always coming up, but be able to evaluate them. And I know Jackie and I are trying to do the same thing this year, and it's really lean into, like, what is our passion and what do we want to be doing with our time? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can only speak for myself, but I said my New Year's resolution was to say more no's than yeses this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really am relying on Dave to keep me in that lane. And I think, you know, he's just a great, great partner who's been through a lot of business stuff that can bring a lot of great insight.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. So really cool how that all worked out. he is really good at keeping the ideas in check, although it's frustrating sometimes because there's so many good ones. Let me tell you about this idea I had this week, Julie. So let's see what you think. And the audience too, because I think I'm onto something big. You realize there's no one holistic, non-brand conforming, I just made that sound really complicated, but network of tax advisors. Where can you go and find a directory of tax advisors or people that just claim to be tax advisors? Well, I posted this in my Facebook group, Accounting from Influencers, and one person said, isn't that just like the tax preparer directory? I'm like, no, a tax preparer is completely different from a tax advisor. The problem is that the AICPA and, you know, all these orgs that are running the show have never radically, perfectly defined a tax advisor. So no one knows what the heck it is. But really, it's just about proactively strategizing, right? Versus reactively or retroactively looking at the picture. So I think that would be really cool. And I, you know, not even tied to TaxPlan IQ or anything like that, where people can just say, look, I'm a tax advisor. Here's where I specialize. And then taxpayers can find them, because I get requests like every week, at least one. I need a tax planner. Who do you recommend for me? You know, that kind of thing. So what do you think?
No, I think this is a great idea. And I think it would build a great community.
Yes.
And as the industry continues to move forward, I think it would only grow. And I'm going to be like, oh, and I have more ideas, because we could have a great like conference on it. Right. And people doing special. Okay, we have to stop. Dave's calling in right now. He's like, the podcast.
Well, I knew you would get it. We'll continue brainstorming. Maybe you're the missing piece of the pie, because I was pitching it to our marketing person and Dave and our operations person the other day. And they're all like, it's a great idea, but it's a distraction from our main purpose. And I'm like, no, it all intertwines. It's so amazing. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, can you imagine if you had like the top 15 things that tax advisors advise on, or, you know, advisors advise on, and you had those people, the top people speaking about them, and then could bring in, you know, other value of ways you can, you know, advisory firms are upping their game. Like, I would attend that 100%.
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. So you've taken it from a directory, which was my basic dumb idea, to like a whole conference. I love it. Okay. But we're going to say no this year, right? So maybe that'll be like a 2025 goal. Okay.
For sure. Yes.
But it's hard to wait that long.
I know. Maybe May or June we'll reevaluate.
There you go. Yeah. Love it. Love it. Love it. Yeah. All right. Let's see. What have we not talked about that you think would be really good for my audience of accounting firm owners and entrepreneurs? You know, what's kind of your best advice, or what's your biggest lesson learned, the hard way kind of thing, that you think is good to share with the world?
You know, I've said it, but there's no failure. There's absolutely no failure. It's just pivoting. Mm-hmm. So you don't fail till you quit. And I think just picking yourself back up and doing the hard thing, even when it feels like it doesn't feel good, mm-hmm. it will. And I think it's about those peaks and valleys as, you know, entrepreneurs, firm owners, like, you get the most value out of that valley. You just got to make it to the peak. And so just having that positive outlook and keep one foot in front of the other, right? The peak seems so high, but if you just keep doing every incremental step to go back to whatever your core values are, your mission, your vision, you will get there. You just can't quit.
Awesome. I love it. Thank you so much for being here. This was a really fun conversation. I have to say, I told Julie before, this is the first time I haven't had my laptop protecting me, like, in front of the screen. I think I did okay, right?
I think we did great.
Yeah, thank you. Well, thank you very much. But yeah, if you love Julie and what she's doing, Julie, what's the best way to get in touch with you, or what website can people look at the Empower CPA concept?
Yeah, so it's empowercpa.io. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Harper & Company. You can find me on Pure Tax's website. You can find me on Empowering Entrepreneurs. That's our podcast. So however you'd like to find me, I'm out there.
Awesome. And Julie and I are in talks of some much bigger things coming together. So
Can't talk about it yet. Of course, more new ideas, but it's really exciting because I love her passion and the energy that you bring to the table. And so I'm just, I feel so blessed to be your friend. So thanks again for being here.
Yes, thank you. And, you know, maybe you'll see our next big idea that we discussed here. This could be the start of it.
I know, right? And everyone listening, you can get involved. Shoot us a note and be like, that's a great idea. And you can be like a founding circle member of that concept. So yeah. All right. So this episode of the Concierge CPA is brought to you by none other than the amazing Tax Plan IQ, where we are implementing a very cool enhancement right now called the rap feature. I actually love rap music, but that's not why I called it that. We actually read, analyze, and propose tax strategies for the accountant. And so it is becoming a revolutionary thing where you can just upload that return from your 1040 client, get the suggested strategies, and then easily be able to tell what kind of advisory services you can bring to the table. So please go check out Tax Plan IQ if you haven't already, and have a wonderful day. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Concierge CPA, hosted by Tax Plan IQ. We believe that every person has a unique message that can positively impact the world. If you are a successful accounting firm owner or influencer who would like to be on this program, please visit JackieMeyerCPA.com, JackieMeyerCPA.com to apply. Please share this on social media and rate us so we can continue our good work. Join our Facebook group called Accounting Firm Influencers, or connect with me on most platforms under Jackie Meyer CPA. Thanks for being accountable to transforming our industry today.